Oh my goodness. Adam, what? We've received another letter from a fan.
Oh, well, that's good, but none of us can read.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do like the paper it's written on.
And I like the marks that they've made on the paper.
Let's get Ron to read it to us again, shall we?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes. Open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk that dinosaur. This is the Grolic Saves the World. My name's Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is the comedy podcast about bettering your world. And what better way to do that than with some sweet riffs from back in the day.
Like you got me door, you got me floor. With a cheap rhyme. I'm laughing at a pretty cheap rhyme.
Well, it's not a cheap rhyme. Cheap it was it. A fucking platinum song. That was a platinum song, and I agree. If you own a dinosaur, walk your dinosaur, and that's the
they have to be socialized. You don't walk them; they tear up your house. That was the problem with Jurassic Park. Were those dinosaurs getting any kind of constructive exercise? Nope,
nope.
So they tore the park apart. Yeah, that's your problem.
Yeah,
that's your problem.
Exactly. You can't own four velociraptors and then just keep
them
penned up. Yeah,
if you gotta hire a service to walk them, then you hire a service to walk them.
Cut to the Sarah McLachlan song. Every year, millions of dinosaurs are unwalked,
go without a home,
kept in cages.
They're like tearing apart a human body in the background.
Dinosaurs
slow motion.
Staring at the camera. Oh, man.
Yeah. That one with the frilled neck is like spitting right onto the camera lens.
Yeah, that's such a great, that'd be a fun little sketch to do.
Yeah.
If we had millions
of
dollars.
Do we have the budget? Yeah.
All we need is
CGI
dinosaurs.
I don't think it's that hard. CGI means come and get it. That's what it means.
Where's that? Okay,
just because you put that above your butt on the small of your back doesn't mean that everyone thinks it means
come
that.
Come and get it on the small of your butt.
The small of your butt is pretty funny.
What is the small
of
your taint.
Butt? The small of your
ass.
Butt would be your taint.
Oh, that's so good. Andrew.
Well, here we are in the mud. That was a record time.
We got there so quick.
Dinosaurs could keep us out. I thought dinosaurs might be some territory.
We're going straight for the taint.
Right, coming great.
It's got to be a record dinosaur to taint linkage. I think we might have set a land speed record to get there.
For sure.
Wow. It's like that Kevin Bacon shit.
I'm proud of us.
6 degrees of separation from dinosaur to taint. Everybody knows that.
Not even six. We got there so quickly.
Well, we got there in a quick amount of moves because we're pros, but at the max, it's six. You can get
yeah. And for those of you playing at home, the question posed was, "What would it be like if you had a dinosaur as a pet?" That was the riff. And then quickly we said, "What would be the smallest part of one's butt?" And we decided that was more fertile for us.
And that I have the words "come and get it" tattooed on my taint.
To recap, for the listener at home.
To recap, the show is for grown-ups.
It's about bettering your world and blah, 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 blah. But the smallest part of the butt could be so many things.
The
maybe
small
the cleft
of your butt.
Of the ass cheek.
Yep. Andrew, you were out of town. You went out of town. We missed
you. I was.
You
just tell us.
You just learned.
We were worried sick.
Yeah.
We were worried sick.
I said to myself, I haven't heard from the boy, and if he hasn't called me.
He hasn't sent me 14 non sequitur texts. I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing all right.
What were
you doing? I took a little spring break trip to Chicago with my kid.
Whoa.
Famous my kid's spring break destination,
spring break,
Chicago.
Yeah. In March? Yeah. only the chumps go down to the Gulf of Mexico. The pros go up to the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
We went
were
up.
The beach is pretty clear this time of year,
they
Andrew?
Were. Yeah, we had the beach all
pretty
to ourselves.
Beach weather, yeah. Right?
Just us and some pretty angry seagulls.
Yeah.
But no, we went with a specific goal, and it was for Christmas. I got my kid tickets to go see our one of our favorite musical acts, Mitski, because she announced her tour dates and there were no Denver tour dates and we were really bummed.
Mitski blew off Denver on this tour? What the
well,
fuck?
That's this not the end of the story. Market. So there were no Denver okay. dates. So okay. I was okay. like, okay, let's go to the Chicago dates, which happened to fall on my daughter's spring break. So I was like, this will be great. And Chicago will be a fun city to visit. And so I bought the whole package. I cashed in some airline miles, which amazingly enough, didn't even have to pay for the flights. And I had it all set up. And then like a month later, Mitski's like, hey, here's some more tour dates for next year. Denver, boom, right two there. Shows. So I was like, a tale as old as time.
Well, yep. These artists, these musicians are in bed with the airlines, Andrew. You know yeah, that, right?
I've heard it in our book. I believe it. They wait
you don't
until
think
you.
Mitski's getting 500 of your miles personally. Those went right to Mitski's pockets from United.
That's
so,
a good point.
Yeah, man, you fell for it.
Well, but Andrew, don't forget that may be true, but you got to spend a March afternoon on the on Calumet Beach. You know what I mean, right there, right at Calumet Park, sunscreening, like sun tanning, right out there. What SPF?
It's a clothing optional. It's a clothing optional beach right there on Lake Michigan. It was so cloudy, no SPF needed.
Wow, zero SPF. That's
but,
cool.
Yeah, but I was still stoked to take the trip. I hadn't been to Chicago in a minute, so I was happy to be back. I've always enjoyed Chicago. I think it's one of the more, maybe I'll say underrated cities, but maybe that's...
You think Chicago is underrated as an American city?
I feel like people don't give it enough love. The only time I hear about Chicago is like scary news nonsense.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Chicago is a great city. If you've never been there and you're in the States or you're visiting the States, you should check out Chicago. It's a great city.
Can I blow your mind? John Holland, born in Chicago.
No. What? Johnny there. H, a
Johnny
Chicago
H.
boy?
Your dad.
Raised out in L.A., John Holland, born in Chicago. Spent the first couple years forged in those fires.
A Chicago Hope. Boy.
A baby of Chicago Hope? Was that it?
That was the hospital. That was the hospital.
Chicago
Mandy
Hope.
Patinkin delivered him personally. How about that?
That is wild. That is
I know.
Wild.
You actually remember cast members from the TV show?
Yeah, that was impressive,
dude. Of course. It wasn't all just about ER. ER may have won the war, but there were a lot of battles that Chicago Hope took during that ratings fucking melee.
You don't have to talk to me. I'm a bit of an Adam Arkin fan. I'm not going to say that Chicago
you, I
Hope
saw
didn't...
your eyes drift off the screen and you yeah,
this, this you, piece of shit.
I don't know anything about that show. I didn't even know. Is it an actual hospital?
Yes, Ben. No, it's not an actual hospital. It's an actual show. It's a fictional hospital. ER is a fictional
okay,
hospital.
Okay, that's what
too.
I was saying. You Chicago think... Hope was not an actual hospital.
You think with HIPAA and all that shit, they just set up shop at a real hospital?
And they're shooting on location in an active hospital?
Yeah.
Is that what you think? You think they make TV in the actual place?
They go, well, we need a storyline today. They go down to medical records, right? They just crack open a file cabinet.
They
use real names and real problems.
All these extras are actual patients waiting to be seen by a doctor.
Well, the hardest part of being on that show was med school. Anthony Edwards went to med school. Noah Wiley, George Clooney. They all went together to get ready for the role because they do real
production takes forever. Eight years
Christine
of production.
Christine Leahy, probably one of my favorite
Another
cast members.
Slow glance to the phone.
What about... no, I never watched any of those garbage television shows, the hospital shows. I didn't watch those.
There's a lot of Chicago shows. It's the Chicago Fire. That's a that's a show. Mm-hmm. There's Chicago PD. There's some like spinoffs of it.
Yep.
That's how you know when you've made it as a city, when people can just throw your city's name in front of something. And it's like, that's the title of the show.
Andrew, I have a question for you. When you got these tickets for your kiddo, was there the fear they might not be into the band by the time this comes around. No, seriously, because like at that age, I feel like I was just, my interests were 3 months long and then I was on to the next thing.
There are other concerts we've gone to that I would say yes, just because I think that with, I'm you know, music is very subjective, but I think of Mitski as like being very, very quality music. She's like prolific. Mm-hmm. She puts a lot into her albums. The albums they have, they explore like themes of sound and themes within them. It's not like it's not like the Chicken McNuggets of pop. It's like it is a I think it is a more engaging in general. Mm-hmm. And I expected, and I was correct, that she would stick with liking Mitski's music throughout some other trends of like pop and rock and things kind of fell by the wayside.
Had more depth than your average shitty artist.
So I was not worried just because of that, because I was like, the fact that she was that into Mitski already, I was like, I don't see her jumping off that just because Mitski's one of the best. She's a great singer songwriter. And it is crazy though that we would both be huge fans. Like when I was a kid, remember when did you have any band that you and your parents liked equally to the point that you would like go to a show? I can't even imagine that. That would be just banana. Me and my dad both losing our minds to Steely Dan. Are you kidding me?
No, my parents had to endure. Also, my dad had to take me to New Kids on the Block. Twice. I think the only time we finally came around together was like when I was maybe a teenager, college, or right around there. We saw Bob Dylan and Paul Simon did a concert together, and it's like the whole family. I think that's the only time all five members of my family went to a show.
That's a pretty great concert.
Managed to enjoy it. Yeah,
I didn't like it. I didn't want to be with anybody. I wanted to be by myself. It's weird to rock out with your parents. It's like not a fun time for you.
I'm sure that very soon my daughter will hit that age where going to a concert with me will just be considered lame. Even if I'm the one who turned her on to Mitski. I'm the one who showed her, like, she knows that I'm into it. There were other dads there at the concert who were clearly there on parent duty. You could just see them kind of like, oh God, what am I doing with my Friday night? But I had a great time. We had a great time. But
I think it's a sign of the difference in parenting that our generation, and especially being fathers, a different role as fathers that we've taken as in this generation and moving forward. Because my mom didn't listen to any of the music that I did, but I would go to concerts with Milo. Even if I didn't like the musician, I would still be willing to go and be like, fuck yeah, I'll go to a show with you. Like, I'll go to a concert just to like support. Whereas my parents would be like, no, I'm not going to, that's what you do alone. You know, like you do that by yourself, which was also kind of cool. But
I think that our generation likes bands better. We have a stronger like interest and attachment to bands that I feel like our parents' generation, they're just like, yeah, it's music. It
Milo's
plays on the radio. It's fine.
Like that. I'm like, I want to go to that. Milo went and saw Tyler, the Creator at Ball Arena. And I was like, I want to go to that concert. That would have been
and he's
fucking
like, no,
awesome.
Dad,
speaking of
Milo, buy me a ticket. Milo, buy me a ticket.
Well, he got Sorry, two Dad, tickets. And I was like, so you're taking your dad, right? And he's like, no, I'm going to bring one of my, and I was like, fuck you, dude.
Fuck you.
Like, fuck you, bro.
Like I maybe, brought you yeah, into cold. This world, dude.
Yeah, that's some cold gin right there, dude. You're serving this gin cold to daddy. And I'm just
I took Malcolm to his first concert a little while ago at the Oriental Theater. The O.
What was his first concert?
It was the Okie Dokie Brothers. It's like a kid's band. And there are these two dudes that play like bluegrassy stuff. They're good for children's music. And because we know those people at the Oriental, they're like, Adam, let's take you. They sat us front row. And so we sat up there and Malcolm had headphones on and after 20 minutes, he was ready to roll and we left.
He was like, okie dokie.
Okie dokie, bro. Let's
terrible.
Got it. GTFO, daddy.
Yeah. I took Milo's first concert that I took him to because Milo is named Milo not because of the Descendants, but not because of the Descendants. Do you know? Because
the Disney movie Milo and Otis.
No, mm-hmm. It was just a name that we liked, but I was like, also the Descendants, and I loved the band the Descendants. So Milo's first concert was sitting on stage at Riot Fest in Denver. We got backstage because a good friend of ours had started Riot Fest, and so he was like, "Come out back." We walked right up on stage, and it was Milo, my son, and me, and then the Descendants playing, and Fat Mike and his wife, and some of the people from Rise Against. That was all it was, all on stage, standing out to the side watching this show. And Milo just was like, "Yeah, this is cool." And I was like, "You don't realize how fucking cool this is.
You're never going to get this again."
Yeah. And but we saw Slayer play all of Rain and Blood that night. And I was like, "You don't realize how cool this is that you're getting to see this." He saw Primus that night, too, playing some of Sailing the Seas of Cheese, which was cool. So
nice.
But now I don't think he wants to go to any more concerts with me. So,
yeah, that'll be a sad day. I think that'll be.
Your trip was great, Andrew. It was not that sad day. It was a triumphant father kiddo moment.
We had a great time. Yeah, we went to the Shedd Aquarium. We went...
Oh, beluga whales, forget about it.
Oh, boy. Those beluga whales. They're the star of the show. The weirdos of the animal kingdom. They're making the insane noises. It was great.
Honest question? The whole time you were in Chicago, did anyone mention me or bring me up?
Adam.
Of this is course, just getting pathetic, Adam.
What?
Of
I just want to know.
They
I've
did.
Every also put in time in that city.
No, Adam, I'm sorry.
No one?
No, they didn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have a letter from a listener, right? Let's just get to that.
Adam, I'm so sorry. You asked me about
but don't,
this.
But don't hold it against the people of Chicago. I bet they were just too busy. They didn't, you know...
He did this.
I was clearly on a vacation.
I went to North Dakota and he asked me if anybody in North Dakota had asked about him. And
I just assume you guys are also people of note and that they see you and that the first question they ask you is, what's Adam like? What's Adam doing? What's Adam's new projects? And so maybe were you wearing a hat and sunglasses or something, Andrew?
I did have a hat on. That's probably what it was. They probably just didn't make the connection. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
Next time, could you take that hat off, go into a cool, hip concert like Mitski in Chicago? So maybe you could help spread the brand a little bit?
Well,
we have a letter from a listener. We love letters from our listeners, and we have one. We are experts. We are basically doctors when it comes to bettering your world. So it makes sense that we would be getting another request. Ben, I believe you have it. We can read it and then we could take a little break and then dig into it. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good. And this person has asked to remain anonymous, which is fine. And you're more than welcome to do that. And we will honor that.
I'll tell people off mic.
Yes.
For a price, we will tell you who it was.
Yes. If you Venmo us, we will tell you the
price.
Name.
Yeah.
Off air. We'll talk about it.
We each have our own price.
yeah.
Okay. Make up a good name then, Ben. Make up a good name.
Frank. Frank says, "I killed a man in Boca Raton, Florida in 1994. I'm just kidding. That's not it. That would be pretty
Holy
funny.
Shit. What if that was the letter? I was like, okay.
I mean, I'm ready to tackle it. I'm ready.
Andrew didn't even blink. That was the best part. He was like, "All right, what are we talking about here?"
Okay. I love a good crime mystery. Let's do it.
No,
if we helped a listener 90s. Get away with murder, I'd feel like we did our part in the world.
The first part of this letter is just this person saying hello and
okay, skip to the meat.
Yep. Love that you all are a weekly pod now. Thank you so much, Frank, not the person's actual name. Makes my miserable desk job a bit more enjoyable. One idea I have, and I was curious about, is how you all have kept your creative drive alive and well when you're having to spend so much time working to make ends meet. I know you all have discussed and expressed that you've had varying levels of success and failure throughout your career and would love to hear your thoughts on that. which I think is great. We've definitely had that. And it wasn't always caviar and Perrier dreams for this crew of people. We weren't always jet setting back and forth from coast to coast on private airplanes.
From Burbank to Denver on Southwest again and again and again.
Yeah, it wasn't always that easy. No, but this is a great one. How do you balance creative endeavors or building creative endeavors, maybe, or trying to build a business with having to make ends meet? You do have to make money in our culture. How did we do that and our thoughts on that? So why don't we take a quick break and we'll tackle that in the second act here. For everybody listening, why don't you check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/GrolichSaves. We got lots of cool stuff up there, deleted content. You can listen to this episode ad-free, plus our pod within a pod, Boy Crazy. As always, the link to check that out is down there in the show notes. For all of you that support us, it means a lot. But let's take a quick break. And when we return from that break, let's discuss this. Let's talk about how we balanced it all, because I think we're kings of that. I think everybody can hear that we're doing an amazing job at this. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, Boy Crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/GrolichSaves.
I do want to sign up.
We are back. It is the second act.
Just to recap, the gist of this letter from a listener of ours is basically, how do you keep your creative drive when you have to spend a fair amount of your time working to make ends meet, to just pay your rent, to be able to keep yourself afloat, because what you would like to be a career, your hobby, or that thing that you want to be your life is not quite paying the bills yet. And I think
working
this
to pay
is
the
really
bills
entry. Yeah.
While trying to like reach for that ring of a artistic career or
anything. And I'm
going to
tell Frank right off the bat, sell that ass pussy, bud. Get out there and get that pussy out on the market. You got
to
always
wonder what's the name of the episode, and I think it's Sell That Ass Pussy.
And sell that ass pussy.
Get that ass pussy out there, Frank. You know, like, because then you can be doing what you love. Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot of time.
Plenty of time to work on that novel in between ass pussy sales.
Get that ass pussy out there. No,
this is something that almost every creative person has to deal with, at least at some point in their life, the balance of your creative life and making ends meet and paying the bills.
And before the show, we were all sort of in that space, but before those who can't, and actually probably prior to that, I'd be curious. Let's go around. I want to ask you guys this. When did you make comedy, what year, a full-time endeavor? When did it finally become like, I don't do anything other than pursue stand-up or writing or whatever as a full-time?
I mean, I think it is, but it changes like situationally.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
for
when
sure.
I had
a
partner
about that. We can
when
talk
I was
about that.
Married. It was way easier to be like, I do comedy full-time. Yeah,
so what
I have
year would
a
you
wife
say
who's
was
working full-time to help, you know, smooth over the cracks. But it comes and it goes.
But I mean, when was the first time you broke away?
I mean, the first time I was able to quit a day job, maybe 20. Oh, I don't even know. 2010, maybe 2011.
Yeah.
I was just trying to just do comedy, buddy. Yeah, it is. It comes and it goes. It's
what about
all
you,
your living situation.
That's an honest perspective as well, because just because you get to the point financially where it's like, hey, I can do this endeavor that I'm more passionate about only, and it's paying the bills, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stay that way forever. And there's these peaks and valleys in
and
your
career.
And I get
that. I'm just asking, when was the first time you guys, because I want to get to what made you in that moment say, like, this is going to be my priority from now
on. So for me, that's an easy one for me, because I worked at Alt Weekly called Westward in Denver. I was a full-time writer, and I
hated
worked there.
Hated your column. We already discussed this.
My column was divisive, but I worked there for 5 years, and it was, you know, honestly, it was a dream job. I wanted to be a writer, but I also wanted to be a comic, so I was doing comedy on the side. And then newspapers are dying, layoffs. I got laid off, and I was totally blindsided. I did not see it coming at all.
Yeah.
And it was a shocking layoff. I was like, oh fuck. I thought this was the path for me. I was going to keep doing this. But I had been doing stand up enough that I was starting to get college gigs. College gigs pay very well, even though they suck. And so I remember thinking, okay, if I can get 10 or 15 college gigs, that's the same amount of income I was making as a writer at a newspaper. It doesn't pay a lot. So I was just like, that was sort of just the universe kicking me in the ass saying, okay, now if you can do it, now's the time. And so it was like a leap of faith and betting on myself, like I'm going to try. And that was the moment that I was forced into making that decision.
So that was probably what, 2009?
2009. Yeah. 2009, I got laid off.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was 2010. It was after JFL Montreal, and I got an agent, and he started getting me into clubs, and I had been working at a like an internet company, and I just
You made a lot of money.
Yeah, and I saved up like $30,000 or something, and gave myself a runway, and then as soon as I could, I bailed on that job right after JFL and tried to.
I remember picking you up at that job all the time, probably to go off and do comedy shit. And you were like miserable.
I hated it.
You were just, run out of that building and get in my car and be like, let's go fucking do this thing.
Yeah. I think during that time, that's the time we can get to how it evolves afterwards. But I think, like, first off the bat, it sucked. It sucks working a job you fucking hate. And then when you get off of that job, knowing you have to spend a considerable amount of time on that other thing you want to raise up and hopefully have replace as the as your main moneymaker. And man, there are a lot of late nights. I don't know that I necessarily right off the bat have a piece of advice other than you just have to just embrace that it's shitty and it sucks, and sometimes you're working later than you would, but just keep your eye on the fucking prize for it. I don't think Frank hasn't told us
what creative endeavor they're going for, right? They just said balancing a creative, so we don't even know what they're referencing, but I'll generally speaking, being creative is also work. It's not like you've got your day job, which sucks, and then creativity is like magic time. Creativity is also work. You're putting in time, whether it's comedy or writing, whatever it might be. Even as a comedian, there's like doing the shows, but there's the travel, there's selling yourself. Like, that's a huge part of being a comedian, especially nowadays, is like, you're supposed to have clips out there constantly, clips on social media, edited clips. I'm not doing it. Most comics I know aren't doing it as much as they want to be doing it. I know comics who pay someone to do it for them. Like, it takes a lot of time to just be editing video clips all the time, pro bono, sifting through your whole catalog of a video to, oh, here's a juicy 30-second clip. You know, it takes work. And outside of comedy, I created my own game company called Occupied Hex Games. And in the 4 years I've been doing that, I've had to learn so many things. I've had to just learn software, publishing software. I've had to learn Excel spreadsheets that I'd never really had to fuck with before. Just
can we take a quick stop and you explain to us how to work Excel spreadsheets for the podcast?
I think it would be gripping.
You got to learn those tutorial keyboard shortcuts. You got to learn the keyboard shortcuts so you can pop around the cells easily. But
I am so hard right now. I get any Microsoft
program around I'm there.
The cells.
PowerPoint. If you're talking PowerPoint, I'm hard. If you're talking Word, I'm hard.
Hard.
Yep. But so I will just tell you, like, I think the balance is like, how do I balance the work that I hate with the work that I would rather be doing? So, but they're both work and they're both going to tax your brain and they're both going to tax your time and your energy. So, but I think that just being upfront that, like, hey, this creative stuff is also work might help you with that balance, because instead of being like, oh, I'm too tired to like work on my novel or whatever, it's like, yeah, because that's work. You don't just sit down and just magically write. You're going to be putting in some brain work writing that novel. So you better give it work time to do it. Not the time after your day job when you're exhausted and you need to be taking care of your responsibilities. It might be before your day job, where you're like, okay, I have like an hour I can sit down and write before I have to start my day job, when I can actually maybe use my mind to its fullest potential, right?
I think that's exactly it. And like, I think that's why the three of us got along, because always, even when we were doing this as the extra thing and we all had our day jobs, we treated it like a job. It mattered to us that much because we wanted it that bad. We weren't like, especially in comedy, it's a lot of fun. There's late nights, there's partying, there's booze, there's girls, there's all of it. But we were always just like, okay, but we want to do this for real. So like, we didn't dip too far into that. We respected it as a job that we wanted to do. And we brought the same work ethic to it. And that's why the three of us were attracted to each other. Cause it was like, I'm sorry, Ben, I know you had a shitty 9 to 5 that sucked. You're exhausted. Whatever. Let's go write this fucking news segment for the show. Like, no excuses. Let's fucking do this thing. We always did it.
I say this to people all the time that are wanting to make. And once again, I don't know, Anonymous or Frank, what it is your endeavor is that you're doing or pursuing. But if it is something that you want to make a career and you want to build this, you have to be so singular minded and so focused on that thing. And I literally, that job that I worked was secondary to this. Like, I would have let that job go if I had to. I mean, I held on to it, but while I was at my desk at work, I was jotting things down. My mind was always on, how do I get to this point? And honestly, it came at the expense of relationships with like partners. I mean, that was that's a big part of why my relationship with with Crystal, my platonic life partner, kind of fell apart. Is she like, work is a mistress. Like, this job is a mistress. It's another thing.
I talk dirty to it.
Yeah, you do talk dirty. What do you say to it?
I like, me and this job are getting a hotel room.
You like that joke? You like that little fucking joke?
Yeah, and it's weird when you say it. Like, so
you like that little fucking joke? I say it between jokes on stage, and the audience is like, what?
It's like, what is he doing? Sorry, I'm talking with my mistress.
Fucking talking with my mistress. That's my job.
You like that little punchline? You like that I riffed and I fucking veered to a surprising direction?
I don't like
when I veered to a fucking surprising direction.
Sound like a snotty kid, dude.
I don't even like joking about this. If you even
fucking love it.
I don't like this. I don't. I don't even like that. If there's just a sliver of truth to that's how you talk during sex, I don't like any of it. I don't like it.
Just
any.
A petulant,
during sex, I just
petulant
say,
boy
you.
King.
I go, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
5 stars. Thank you.
I'll be back. Thank you.
Would fuck again.
My God. Thank you. You're so kind.
Oh my God. If you were abusive like that during sex,
just leaving a Yelp review.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
You're very
funny.
Nice. You're so nice.
You shouldn't have. Yeah.
Oh my God. Is that for me?
Gross. Oh my God. If you said that, they'd be like, nope, it's not.
Oh
it's
God.
Not.
No, those were some of the hardest times, but I think that the hardest thing, and this is what I always look for with newer creatives who have jumped in and made a big splash, and people go, so-and-so is blowing up. And I go, that's great. Can they maintain it? Can you keep it going for a long period of time? And that is the most taxing part. It's not like once you get there, because you have all the excitement behind it. Now we're 15 years in, 20 years into doing stand-up, and 14 years as this being a full-time gig. And at points, it was not paying the bills. And I picked up side jobs. Like you guys know, I was painting the interior, like interiors of apartments and condos for money. Like
yeah,
doing
I had a terrible day job that I got laid off from just last year. I hated it. I hated every second of time there.
You discussed that on the pod a lot. It was it was just
and
very
I
much
hated it. And it was
bill.
Just like, well, I got to do it now. And yeah, you just have to. And I'll tell you this, like sometimes it is such a grind to do creatively that you might just work on your creative, whatever it is, for 10 minutes or something, but even that is worthwhile. It's just chipping away at it. And sometimes you'll be inspired and you'll have a chunk of time and you're like, wow, I just like did so much work on that. And sometimes you'll just sit there and you'll just stare at a blinking cursor and be like, I don't have anything to do.
Those things kill me. Those
yeah,
like,
but you have to do them. You just have to do that. As well. And even if it's like a sentence, or even if it's just going back and rereading something and tweaking the words, even that is the work that you got to put into it. And you're just think of it like you're chipping a rock sculpture. It's just one little chip at a time. And maybe it's hard to see the big picture when you're doing it and it's a grind. But if you do put in the time and you have that work ethic where it's like, even on the bad nights, even when you're tired, even when you're cranky, if you're have the work ethic to just keep chipping away at it, eventually you should be able to step back and you will have this big thing that you wanted to create. Because if it took one little chip at a time, you did it. That's how that shit's made. It's made one little chip at a time, not instantly.
But I agree with Ben's earlier point about like, we've said we were working on a TV show. We're going to call it this Peaks and Valleys. Like any career in creativity is peaks and valleys. And hopefully you pop and you're just the star from then on till the end of your career. But I don't know anyone, even who's at the top, who would be like, yep, it's just been smooth sailing the entire time. It's like peaks and valleys of your career. And if you're lucky enough
to be there,
you get to do it all the way to the end of your life.
You're
be in the
business
arts.
If you're building it. I have friends who have owned businesses that were not in the creative industry, that when things would get slow, clients would back out or they were slow. I had a good friend that was a therapist that when their practice would quiet down, you know, they just didn't have as many clients, they would drive Lyft or Uber because that business that they built was their priority. And sometimes you have to pull in money from other places to keep that business afloat. And no one looks at anybody who owns an ice cream shop and has to do that if times are slow, pick up a second job to keep the lights on and to keep the cream flowing, if you know what I'm screaming there. No one gets...
Cream Flow is my favorite ice cream shop in town. We love Cream Flow.
I go for Cream Flow for the Flow and Cream Fridays, and that's my favorite. Two for one on the Cream Flow. That's
ice
insane.
Cream, you no scream, we all scream for Ben's job. Riffs. What?
No, but just remember that if this is something you truly want to do, that is your priority business. everything else just feeds that. And so, yeah, like somebody when times were tough, like during COVID and we weren't out working and that was hard, like so hard. Somebody was like, hey, do you want to paint some interiors? I'm not above that. If it keeps me still being able to do comedy when times are more lean, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pick up a job. I'm going to do that. And then the money will come back around again at some point. You know,
yeah. And we can't overemphasize the feast and famine nature of any kind of creative work unless you have a salaried job as a creative person. Like
rare.
I make up aliens for this company or something, which is incredibly rare. You're probably going to be working freelance and it's truly feast and famine. You might have periods where it's like, wow, I'm getting all this work. This is great. And then you'll go through periods where you're like, I don't know if I'll ever get paid for doing this again. That's how long.
Yep. And then you have sweet WJ health insurance. And now suddenly you're navigating the Colorado marketplace because that's dried up and you haven't done that in this many years. And but like every comedy writer I know is hops from show to show to show and is hoping to get the next job.
That is what I want to add too.
And you,
everything you're feeling, remember, is being felt by every single fucking creative. We all go, no one's feeling like this. We, the three of us, take a chance to always remind ourselves or remind each other if we hear somebody that we all look up to in the comedy world that we think is crushing it. And then you'll have a conversation because they're friends and they'll be like, they'll express the same uncertainty and the same terror about the volatility of this industry. And you go, oh, wait, I'm not the only... It's just inherent in the arts, I think, and in creative endeavors.
As I was trying to say before I forget this point, think of the future and like pay attention to the kind of forecast for the creative work that you're doing, because things can change overnight, especially with all this new AI technology. I have so many friends who are illustrators, who want to get paid for doing illustrations freelance, and they can look into the future and be like, if this AI image generation is made commercial so that companies can do this instead of hire a human being illustrator, that will burn through this industry with catastrophic results. So just kind of pay attention to those so you don't get caught blindsided, you know, so you can think and like pivot and be like, okay, well, how can I still do what I want to do creatively? And if this happens, because some of these things, they seem, you know, pretty clear coming trends. So just kind of look to the future.
I want to dovetail on that, but also this might not be the most popular thing that I say on this podcast, but like,
yes,
be realistic with yourself. Be fucking realistic with yourself. Like, we all know a lot of comics that suck. That are still like, why can't I make it? And it's like, because you're bad at this. And like, I like nothing more than people who are creative because they just want to scratch that itch. They paint or they write things because it's fun for them. They join
hobbies,
you know, like writing groups with each other. I think that's so pure and honest. So it's like, if it's an itch you have that just needs to be scratched, just scratch the itch. And I do think at some point for all three of us, we were rewarded in a way that was financial or whatever, where it's like, okay, there are indicators that you are succeeding in this field. And I don't want to like discourage anyone from pursuing the arts, but like at some point, check in with your fucking self and realize, am I succeeding in this or not? And it might not just be because you don't have all the time. You have to sort of look at that and get some sort of outside vindication that like, yeah, you can keep doing this. There is some light at the
Adam,
end of the rainbow. I mean, like I said, not the most popular thing, but I think it's true.
You're staring at me directly while you're saying this.
I just, what are the sort of goalposts for you and why do you keep moving them?
Like, take stock of your surroundings. Are you in a basement right now podcasting with a hood on because it's so cold that it looks like you're outside?
Well, the heat has been an issue, but guys, we're going to get it back on. I really trust that the money will come back, and I think the heat comes with the money. You guys know that, and
certainly they'll figure out how to stream those who can't soon. And when that happens, I imagine we'll all get $2 million. And
yeah, well,
that's
we'll be
great.
We'll be fine.
The,
and we're good.
That is true, and I think it's really hard to be honest with ourselves also that the world changes and the industry changes. And being honest, do you have the energy to continue doing it as it evolves and as you grow into it? The one thing I wish I had known before any of this was just to create a set of expectations about what being successful in whatever endeavor you're doing is. Like, when you can, is there something you hope to achieve with it? And if you get to that point, can you say, you know what, I did it. That was awesome. I achieved this goal. Anything beyond that is just cherry on top. Because I think if I could have looked at it like that from the beginning, I would say, hey, man, we made a fucking television show. Holy shit, that's a rare thing, a rare opportunity to get to do. Anything that I get to do beyond this, that's just fucking cherry on top. Like, I should, you know,
dude,
I'm trying to look at it like
I agree with Ben. Like, think, just making it is the success. Like, once you look at the commercial version of the success, it's tainted, because where the money comes in, that's out of your control. You can't control who buys it. You can't control who publishes your book. You can't control who buys your TV show idea. You can put it out there, but you can't control the commercial side of it being taken. So just look at it, making it as the success. If that is your goal, is to work through that creative process and create something that you're like, yeah, this is, I wanted to do this. I wanted to write a book of poems and I did. Like, congrats. That is the best level of success. If something else happens to it, it's like, oh, wow, it got published and now people are buying it and I make money. Hey, that's great too, but you don't have control over that. So setting that as part of your success is setting yourself up to be fucked. So enjoy the success of just doing it and putting it out into the world and knowing that you made something and other people can check it out, because
that's why people are podcasting. That's why people self-publish. That's why, like, these are avenues where you can just put your shit out there. And anytime you're writing or creating towards selling, it's not going to be very good. It's got to be like a pure inspiration that's untainted by outside sources, if it's ever going to be any good. Because then it's real. Then it's honest. Then people can detect that level of realness in it. If you're writing because this type of TV show is popular now and I want to sell,
like,
one too,
I'm going to make the new Seinfeld. Suck. It's like, no, that's terrible.
Despite what your agents keep telling you.
You have to, you have to define to yourself what making it is, because that can be so amorphous. And I'll tell you, in, especially if it, you know, in the entertainment industry, you punch through one ceiling, there's just more ceilings beyond.
There's a guy standing up there and the beam's punching you back.
Yeah. Who's going like,
and it's me. This is my squat. Yeah. This is my roof squat.
Yeah, it's true. It's the weirdest thing. Like, so if you say, I just want to be able to say I made X or I did this or I put out this, like Andrew is saying, if you get to that, you should congratulate yourself, celebrate it. Like, don't, that's the worst thing that I think we all got bad at, celebrating our successes. I don't really remember, like, all three of us, but it was always, we got something and then it was like, what's the next step? Rather than stopping and just being like, holy shit, we did this. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what I would do every little win. I did go take a moment to jerk my little dink and then I would move on.
That's what you were doing in your trailer?
That's what you were doing, yeah. Dude.
That's why they give you trailers.
We thought you were napping, dude. Gross.
No, you were jerking my little dink to celebrate in your star wagon, dude.
Can't believe we just made a fucking episode. This rules. Jerk the little dink and then celebrate. And then on to the next episode.
Do you talk to yourself like you do during coitus?
Thank you.
I could hear him through the wall. We did have a shared wall and I would hear these murmured thank yous. And I thought he was like praying. But now that I know.
There was still big shout out, not ours. Kurt Braunohler will always have the best one, which is, I'll have what me's having, which is always the one that, whenever he says that.
Or Chris Fairbanks is,
daddy has to go number three.
Yeah. Calling both, it number three is
both
so
gross.
Good. No,
both
I think that this is such an, we could probably talk about this for hours, because this is legitimately the bane of all of our existence is how do you keep this fucking ball in the air? You know, like
the and like where the letter writer was coming from is kind of like, hey, I'm not maybe to even where you guys are yet. So I hope that it helps you to hear this doubt that we have, this constant insecurity, this worry about the future of our careers, because like Ben was saying, we've heard it from people that we think are way more successful than we are and way more stable than we are. And they're like, the sky is falling half
remember,
the time too.
Adam, side note, you were at UCB Franklin and there was somebody very famous. I don't want to say the name out back talking about that. It was an SNL cast member talking about how they felt so uncertain about their future. You told me about this. You were doing, the Comedy Bang Bang. And you were telling me
Rob Schneider was back there.
Little he did he realize he had some pretty cool ideas politically. Yeah.
But I remember you saying, I heard this person talking backstage about how uncertain they felt. And you were like, holy shit, you're a fucking star.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that I want to say is, Frank said, how do you maintain your creative drive? For me, like, this is what I do. I love writing songs. I'll always get tired of writing jokes, but then a joke
Ben,
will come
to me. This is a podcast. You're not writing songs right now.
No, but I'm saying, like, keeping my creative drive. I just
Ben's not creative during the podcast. Adam.
No,
this
but
has, oh, right.
This is Ben's shitty day job that he does
this is a
to
refuge.
Be able to
this
play
is a
music.
Refuge no, from but Ben's creativity.
I'm being serious that like I just feel the urge to do these things. And I think when you're tired and you're trying to force it, you can feel like how do you maintain it? But if it's your passion, it'll come back to you. You can take a break, catch a nap, catch a rest, recollect yourself.
And again, sometimes it's just a little, you're chipping away at it. And it might be weeks of chipping away at it, but just try to maintain that work ethic and know that you are working toward a larger project. Like this, here's a game book I made. It's 272 pages long. There were literally months of time I worked on this while I had a day job where I was like, I would add one sentence to this book. Maybe a day. I had one
and
sentence
he wrote,
to this.
Fuck my day job so many times in this.
Yeah,
yeah
dude.
Delete it.
but there were times I was like, I'll never finish this. I will never get to the end of this because I just can't. It's this job and being a single dad and taking care of my two huskies and this and that. I don't think I'll ever finish this. But you just one foot in front of the other, one little chip after the other. And eventually you're like, oh my gosh. I think I did it. And you can step back and look at and whatever it is, whether it's a song you've been working on or a novel or a visual art, you know, you just put in a little bit of work and just keep that up because you don't want it to be hard to go back to it where you took so much time off that you're like, oh, I don't even know where I left off or, oh, yeah.
You got to keep the momentum.
Just keep the rhythm. Yeah, keep a little rhythm there.
The bleakest it got for me recently was the pandemic where all of us were just like all our income was dried up. We were all filing PPP loans. We were just like trying to get anything we could. And I was really, you know, I had a baby and a second one on the way. And I was telling Katie, I was like, I think the gig's up. I think I can't do this. What else can I even fucking do?
Yeah.
And I remember I was reaching out to like media outlets in Colorado. I was like, I could go back to writing or being on the news or something like that. I could try to work for Channel 7. Now let's see what I can fucking do. And Katie was like, if you got any other job, you would be so fucking miserable because you need to do this. You wake up like every day with this desire to create and you go out into your office and you like do something. And anything else,
he's jerking his little dink, Katie. That's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. And that's why when you hear him talking,
office, this guy's got an office.
His quiet, whispered affirmations to himself. You're so good. You're so good at it.
You just need it. You just need it.
I don't like the side of you that we've unwrapped today. And it's truly troubling. It's
truly illuminating. What would you have done at Channel 7, Adam?
Yeah. Oh my God. Please tell me what you
what would
have
you
done
have done during primetime news? I'm trying to think.
I think I have a pretty good sense of when the barometric pressure changes a little bit. I feel like I feel
Adam
gets into the building and goes straight to meteorology.
You don't have a degree in it
before others. And I think that's sort of like grassroots. Like, this guy doesn't need to know the tech. He just needs to go outside and he can
tell what's
going
off his knee. Y'all, yeah. The knee has spoken. We're looking at least 4 to 6 inches.
I'm a weatherman that shoots from his gut. And I might be wrong half of the fucking time, but I'm being real with you. I believe I was right.
You gotta stop doing that gut shooting thing too. It's also, it's a real health hazard to everybody.
I think people are tired of big tech. I think they're giving get too much information. You want a weatherman that fucking shoots
from the hip.
Yeah, baby.
Adam, I would have gone straight to whoever that person is that does that overly enthusiastic morning garbage.
Oh, you would have put Adam paired up on a morning show? Oh, yes. Just true hell. Yeah. Just true hell.
So, tell us about this cookbook you made.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this. So I could walk into channels 4, 7, or 9 and fucking run those places. And that is the guarantee.
Shots fired.
Ratings would improve by just dramatic amounts.
And I think Adam could go into the control booth and jerk his dink 3 times an afternoon and no one would
fire. I could
fire
direct.
Him.
I could be on camera. I can write. I could do anything for any of those newscasts. I swear to God, I'm not even fucking joking right now.
I don't think you'd be good at it. I think people would be like, that guy hates us.
This is the writing equivalent of, I bet I could throw a football over that mountain. That's what you're doing. You're like, I could tackle any... I thought the same thing. I was like, I'll go back to college. I'll go for psychology or something.
You're
going to
be a psychologist?
Yeah, or a therapist. Shut up, Andrew.
My therapist yells and cries a lot.
He won't get off his phone. He's looking at his phone the whole time.
Yeah, he's Googling actors from Chicago Hope. Who was in that?
What was your COVID pivot? What did you think like you're going to do? What was your
I mean, I kind of did it. I created this game company and I've been cranking out games. They make virtually zero money. I mean, if you factor in the time I spent, they definitely are losing money. If I were to pay myself even the tiniest of wages,
well, that's not
but
fun.
I love doing
Ben and
it.
I have lucrative fantasies. Give us a lucrative fantasy.
I'm living my
fantasy.
I'm
a therapist now. Andrew Adams, a goddamn directing producer. He's a creative producer.
All right. My lucrative fantasy pivot. You know what? I try to work as a chef in a restaurant. I try to break in.
See that.
And cook in a restaurant. I love cooking. Yeah.
I think you should do that. I think you should quit this podcast right now.
I think the busters would break him down. I don't think
you
he
think
has what it takes.
House
I feel like
would
they would
fuck
haze
up
the
Andrew?
Shit out of him. They would haze the shit out of him in that
front
game.
Of house beats up the chef.
I probably
all
don't
the
have
time.
That like mean command vibe that you need to be a chef, you know, where you're just like willing to just dress somebody down because they fucked up the plating or whatever. I'd be too nice about it. I'd be like, you know
I've
what?
Seen Top
it's
Chef.
Fine.
You
it's
don't
still
have
edible.
A bacon tattoo. You don't have a knife tattoo. You can't do it.
No,
that's
no,
true.
No, actually, now
I don't do a lot of coke. I don't know if I could ever be a good chef.
You could do coke.
I could get started on doing coke. I feel like I'm ready to do it. What do I have
you
to
could
lose?
Get a bacon tattoo.
Listener, as you can see. You just got to stick to it, man. You just got to put that creative work up to the front and work at it like a job. And if it's meant to be, it will come to fruition. You'll get some signs of encouragement. And that's when you really keep pushing and break through.
Yeah,
just remember, just doing it, just making stuff and seeing it through. That's the ultimate reward.
Yeah,
it's one of the coolest things about being a human being and having this life. And even if the output is slow and it takes you a while to get there, just keep at it and make shit.
Yeah, there are some things that just don't have a super nuanced answer other than just fucking do it. I don't know, do the work. It's really annoying. Sometimes I love what Andrew said. Sometimes it's just a sentence. And Adam can, I'm sure, say the same thing. You've written a book and a full-length feature script and dozens of scripts with those who can't. You know, sometimes it's just putting your hands on the keys and typing something. And I will say,
just get in there and do it.
As the final note, you always think you always think that that thing you forced yourself to write is not nearly as good as the epiphany type idea. It's not true. Often you'll come back and what you wrote was just as good as anything else. It just, it was a little bit of squeezing blood from a stone, but it still works. It's still from you and it's creative. And so
good luck to you. And just in advance, we can't read your screenplay. We're very busy, but good luck with it.
And I don't want to hear your hip hop album. I don't want to hear it. So please don't send it to me. Send it to Andrew. Andrew loves to listen.
Andrew's
to
inbox homemade is wide open.
Yes.
Wide open.
Yeah. I will often just walk around pedestrian malls asking for hip hop CDs. Does anyone have a homemade hip hop CD I might check out?
Thank you so much, Frank, for contributing this question. We hope it helped. We hope it answered some of your questions at least, or inspired you. And for those of you listening, please, if you have thoughts for our friend here, Frank, as to what they can do, you have advice or things that work for you, please chime in. Also, if you have a question or you have something you want our advice on, let us know, send us a message. As always, the links to do so are down there in the show notes. But thank you so much. And why don't we listen to some live stand-up comedy?
Ooh, I love it.
From the Grolix Live Show that, as you know, happens the last Saturday of every month. This is from a guest who joined us fairly recently at our live show. So funny. Everybody, please enjoy this clip from Mav Viola. And then when we return, third actors. You've been waiting with the episode on mute, just watching the timer, trying to aim it right.
It's been a long one. It's been a long one, but we're ready for you.
We're ready for you. We have got good news coming. We've got more show. So please stay tuned.
Oh my God. I love these boys bringing me out. Like I love these guys, but I also am like, I think about transitioning all the time, but then I see dudes like that I sort of look like, and I'm like, if that's all that's going to happen. Why go to all that risk, you know? Why go to all that risk? I'm doing okay, you know? God gave me small titties. I'm doing good. I'm the laziest trans person that ever existed, if I, you know? And I love when people introduce me who didn't ask me my pronoun, because we're going to get there to the pronouns, but like I don't love being asked my pronouns, and we're going to get there. But like, did you hear how many times he said person? He's like, I saw this person in Portland and this person was great, so I invited this person onto the show. I was like, that is a white straight man who's freaking out unbeknownst to the audience because he's not clear on my pronouns, you know? I love that. One of my favorite things to do before I go on a show is if they ask me my pronouns right before they go out, they're like, oh my God, what are your pronouns? I'm like, you pick. You know, and they're like, oh, just, don't make me do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Act 3, Third Actors. Always nice to see you. Where have you been? You're looking well. You're looking very well.
I got to say, this third act only regimen, it's slimming. And I think it's because it's low in carbs.
I completely agree. And not that you even needed to lose anything or that we're judging you physically. But what's important is that you're feeling good with this exclusively mm-hmm. third act diet. And it looks good on you.
Yeah. I don't know what the long-term ramifications of it'll be.
No one knows what the long-term ramifications are. Doctors will let us know in a decade or so. But the best news about this specific third act, Ben, is no Andrew Orbital. And that delights me.
It feels less humid in here.
Yep, it does.
He's always wet. And
it's like you removed a tank, like an iguana tank that had all sorts of like hot lights on it. And then sort of a weird air just sort of made the room grosser.
Trashier.
You know?
Yeah. Trashier. Yeah.
And it's gone. And there's just not as much chirping. And we can just do it. We can just do the job.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we can just get to the finally some good news.
Sure.
Segment.
Let's just power right through it.
Yeah.
Let's
finally just power right through it. Some good friggin' news. And Adam, I'm going to go. This is a fun headline. Scientists are now experimenting what they call the Beacon of Hope, which is these heat-resistant larvae that are coming back to the coral reefs, and they're reintroducing them.
We really got to hear you stumble fuck your way through some headline you Googled about good news about larvae and coral reef. You think that's what fucking listeners are tuning in to hear you talk about larvae and coral reef?
What do you
reef?
Got? What do you
do
got?
I have?
Yeah.
I got it's playoff season, baby, in the NBA. That's the good news. That's you know, the good news.
Yeah, let's pretend.
And here in Denver town, that means it's time to walk the champions walk. And I'm walking it, Ben, and I'm walking it proudly.
Yeah, so that's news, what our fans in Finland and Australia want, is to hear about an NBA team that they don't root for at all. Every
they
time.
Don't root for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, as you
Jokic,
just kind of like chew it up as
famed
cud,
European
and then regurgitate.
Nikola Jokic, they don't care about him.
Guys, sorry I'm late. Oh, my God.
Sake.
Oh, what did I miss?
Where the fuck have you been?
Sorry, I was out looking for some good news. What'd you guys come up with?
We're just listening to Adam talk about the Nuggets again.
Andrew, have you got any good news?
Dude, what do people in Finland give a fuck about the Nuggets?
Adam, what's happening with the Nuggets? We're in the playoffs, right?
What I wanted to say, it was not about the Nuggets. It is about me as a sports fan. I think the listeners are tuning in to hear about us, not Ben Google's good news and clumsily reads that as if he understands it and has been talking about it all fucking week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because you've never been an annoyingly Denver-centric sports fan. That's a new thing. That's growth for you, Adam? That's growth? Is that what you're pitching?
What's growth is that I'm normally paranoid about sports. Last year, we won the championships, and I said to myself, Adam, enjoy this. It happened. The Denver Nuggets won the championship, and you got one in your lifetime. And now we're in it. The Nuggets look poised to win it again, but I've got friends that are freaking out, that are being hysterical and neurotic. And yes, I feel those impulses as a sports fan, but I am just enjoying the ride. I really am trying to be like, enjoy this. It is a gift to have this team and this European genius, Nikola Jokic, that might interest our Finnish listeners. And so I'm learning to chill out and enjoy this gift that I'm given. And isn't that a lesson, Ben, that we can all learn, whether it's sports or not, and not just fucking you regurgitating larvae on the coral reef facts that you barely understand?
I at first was upset, but then when you brought it around to how you've grown, I see it now. And now I see why that's good news, Adam. And I see
you.
And so finally, some good fucking news. And I'm sorry, I was wrong. The coral reefs can wait. I mean, it's not as if they're like unbleaching today, you know? So I think you're right, Adam. I think I see
a lot
of
people can wait for your hot take as a marine biologist for next week. They can wait for you to lecture them on that next week. Maybe.
That's great. I would like to add some bad news while we were talking. At least 36 nurse sharks have died during that time, according to regular statistics. So good news, followed by some bad
news. Good news, during that time, I actually purchased a Nuggets playoff hat.
I stand corrected.
Which will one day wind up in the ocean. So really, it's the circle of life.
Andrew, polyfibers aren't going running in late anywhere. And I know you're exhausted, but do you think you got some lung power to hit us with some dulcet tones?
I've got it. Yeah. Plugs.
Yeah,
plugs.
I love this fucking song. Andrew, do you have anything to plug coming up?
Sure, I have something to plug. If you listen to this podcast and you're like, I'm not full of podcasts, I have so much room left on my plate for another podcast, I have another podcast. I started with my old pal, Deb Lestoka, who's a funny comic who I've known forever, and it's called Dry Wit. It's all about living a great life without booze. It's
impossible.
It's pretty entertaining. Hopefully we'll have... Ben, you said you were going to guest on it, and now you're saying it's impossible?
Yeah, I've not lived a good life for a long time.
Well, We need. I can't wait for you to guest on it as the ghost of a life past.
Yeah, of a life well lived.
But
yeah.
Check that out. It's called Dry Wit. Anywhere that you enjoy podcasts.
I will say I did listen to the first episode that you guys had posted, and it is fan fucking tastic. And you should all check it out because it is really funny and really insightful.
Yeah, it's coming together.
Yeah,
it's
why
coming
couldn't together. You just say fantastic,
Adam? What about you?
You said fan fucking tastic, and I feel like we lose listeners that way. Why can't you just say fantastic? Well, why do you have to swear so much?
I feel like you're just on me.
Ben's a bad boy. He'll slip fucking into any word he wants.
If you like clean Christian comedy, I am celebrating my 20th anniversary as a clean Christian comedian this Thursday, April 25th at Comedy Works. I've been doing comedy 20 years. It's going to be a celebration and it's going to rip. And I've got such great openers. Jeff Tice, Hannah Jones, David Borey. I'm trotting out all my old merch. If you wanted to get a DVD of Dick Jokes for Artists from 2008, I've got them for sale. So come to the show at Comedy Works. It's going to be a lot of fun, you guys. And that's my plug.
Adam is actually half Jewish, and this is his 20-year celebration in comedy. So we call this his Ha Mitzvah.
Thank you.
And
I regret running here.
I know.
To join this late.
Ha Mitzvah is the first thing Ben's done in the credits that I've liked.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. Well, you're going to love this because all I'm using my time for my plugs because I'm selfless and I care about the group and the environment. Mm. I would like to plug that the Grolix Live Show is this Saturday. And when I say our headliner is a favorite of ours, there is no hyperbole to that. I always doubled over laughing at this person. You do not want to miss this show. This Saturday, D. Giovanni headlines. And oh my God, we all know last time destroyed the theater, crushed it. Everybody was dying laughing.
She's the best. She's so amazing. If you haven't seen her, you got to come to the show. And if you have seen her, we'll see you there at the show.
And then joining also from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Good Cop, Rad Cop, which is so fucking funny. Great musical comedy. And then a local up-and-comer crusher, Tanya Sabrina, is going to be there as well. This is an amazing show. Get your tickets now. As always, for all the shows mentioned, the tickets are in the show notes.
As always, huge thanks to producer Ron Doyle. Couldn't record the live show without help from Mike Henderson. We appreciate you, buddy. Theme music provided by Charlie Continental. You can follow us on social media at Grolix Comedy. All the platforms were there. Support us and get ad-free episodes and other perks on Patreon, patreon.com/GrolixSaves.
Oh, wow. And what are we going to do for the next episode? I have an idea. I think you two are freaking boring. And I think you need to change some things up.
Totally agree.
You're going to have to change some things. And I think it all starts with your leisure, how you leisure yourself.
Okay.
Your leisure.
Okay.
How do you leisure yourself?
Okay.
And Andrew, don't look at me like that.
I just want this act three to be done.
Everything Ben's saying makes so much sense. And I agree with him.
I'm leisuring myself right now. So anywho, I crushed this third act. We'll be back next Tuesday. Play us out, Charlie.